Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. Please help yourself to coffee, slushies, pastries in Reb Shaila Corner. With tremendous gratitude to Marilyn and Michael Fedak for sponsoring our 10-minute series and learning of Tanya. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Chaim Yehuda Meir, my good buddy in honor of BRS. Through 10 Minutes of Meaning, turn the other 1,430 minutes of the day into something much more, and we will take that charge seriously. We are in the middle of the 7th parak of Tanya, and the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, has been talking to us about the difference between our godly soul, the chelek alikah mimal mamish, and the nefesh bami, the animal soul, the animal impulse. The Baal HaTanya's chiddush is that the animal inside us is not anything that we're trying to slaughter or get rid of or purge, but rather the animal is something we're trying to train. And here in Perek Zayin, he's been distinguishing between the four klipos, three klipos, the three husks or shells that block the light, the or ein sof, the light of Hashem, that are a total eclipse of the light of Hashem. They are completely and categorically bad and negative. They represent that which is also and forbidden in this world. And the fourth, which is klipas noga. Klipas noga means that which is a partial eclipse. There is some light that can penetrate, some light that can be accessed, some light that can be exposed, the light of the Or Ein Sof of Hashem. However, there is a partial eclipse, so there is something that can be redeemed within the klipas noga. So until now, the Baal HaTanya here in Perek Zayin has been distinguishing between that which he calls rishus, permissible acts, eating, sleeping. They're not inherently a mitzvah, nor are they inherently forbidden, and they therefore represent the light that we can bring out, and we can elevate and transform, or we can indulge the ego in us. So all that we do, there is no third category. Maybe in halacha, there's a third category called rishus, but in machshava, in hashkafa, there's no third category. All that we do is either ego or elokus. We're either indulging our ego, or we're pursuing, we're chasing, we're elevating through elokus. And he took us through several examples of that. The way that we, for example, eat marbled meat. You remember last time we spoke about the delicious, the proper way to have a steak, black and blue. Marbled meat and fragrant wine, or if you use them for Oneg Shabbos, if you enjoy them, geschmack, a great meat board, a great kiddush, a great l'chaim, in moderation, appropriately, but all contributing to Oneg Shabbos Simchas Yontif, then it's wonderful. Then it's wonderful. Then the klipas noga energy in it is refined, it is ascended. He says, Ola l'Hashem ka'ola ha'korban. You could turn that piece of flesh on your table, you go out to dinner, and you share Divrei Torah, you enjoy good company, you feel the presence of Hashem, you ask your friend how his neshama is, how her neshama is, you've turned that piece of meat into a korban, into an ola, into an ola. Another example he said was using humor. We talked about comedy. Humor. Humor is not frivolous, but rather, if it opens up our heart, if it softens our soul, if it makes us more able to experience with joy this world and this life, then it's being elevated and transformed. On the other hand, he spoke about bizolele basav asoveyayin. If you're gluttonous and you gorge on meat and you guzzle wine, if you're indulging the animal, you're eating like an animal, acting like an animal, you're giving in to the klipas noga, so then you're eclipsing the Or Ein Sof, the light, and you are blocking Hashem. Which brings us up to the following. That unlike an act that's powered by the three categorically negative and destructive klipos, where the evil in it is irredeemable, there's nothing good that could be redeemed, a kosher act, something in this sort of neutral, eating, drinking, sleeping, comedy, which is his example, can be either ego or elokus. So when it is ego, what do? So here the Alter Rebbe says, in that third neutral power of rishus area of life, where something is neither a mitzvah nor its asur, where it's all about the attitude we bring, the intention that we bring to it. Is it ego or is it elokus? Let's say we gave in and it was ego. It was ego. It was all about our ego. So we experienced that pleasure out of ego, and we sought that honor out of ego, and we wanted to post that to get attention out of ego. If we indulge the ego in that klipas noga, in that intermediate category, then we can do tshuva. The repentance is not for the act, because the act wasn't inherently bad. The act of eating, the act of sleeping, the act of humor is not inherently good or bad. It's all what we bring to it. So unlike if you ate non-kosher, God forbid, unlike a person who looked at the wrong image, unlike a person who shared gossip or slander, where the act is inherently bad, Machal Shabbos, the act is inherently bad, you're indulging the klipa, the sitra achra, the other side. So here, klipas noga, where the act is inherently good or bad, it's just a question of the intention. Do you bring ego or elokus? Now, you're not trying to repent or repair the act, but rather the attitude. And that's easier. Since the meat or wine are inherently permissible, they're inherently kosher, so now they're able to return and ascend with you when you realign yourself. We can go back and we can retroactively attach the correct intention or mindfulness. Tshuva is the capacity to go back in time. We're able to edit the film of our life. So we could say that act of eating, that act of pleasure that I did purely out of ego, not out of elokus, I want to go back. And now retroactively, I'm going to assign elokus intention to that act. Shezeu lashon heter u'mutter. This is mind-blowing. This insight of the Alter Rebbe is going to change the way we use these words, words you've been using your entire life. When we talk about something that's permissible or forbidden, what are the words or terminology we use? Aser means forbidden. And the opposite of aser is mutter. Heter means permissible. Matir asurim. We've been having kavana for that for 2.5 years. And we still have kavana because there's one hostage body that's still there. Trump says he knows where it is, and Mirza Shemi should be returned the karov so the family can have closure. But we've been having even extra kavana for the word matir asurim, the beginning of our Amida, 3 times a day. It's a little bonus sitter snippet going back now. What does matir asurim mean? Release those who are. Hashem, you have the power to release, to liberate, to free those who are. Asur means bound. They're imprisoned. They're bound. They're tied up. Asur means tied up and bound. Mutter, matir, means released and unbound. So now why do we use those terms to describe that which is forbidden or that which is permissible? Tum and tahara, pure and impure, I get. Other terms I understand. Why mutter and asur? Zokta balatanya. Zeu lashon heter u'mutter. Klomar she'eino kashur v'asur bidei achitzonim shlo yuchol lachzor v'lalos l'Hashem. If something is asur, it is tied to the sitra achra. If something is forbidden, it is bound with the other side, the dark side. It's bound to ego. It's bound to that which is categorically and conclusively negative, destructive, wrong, and bad. If it's asur, that which is asur, Mechal Shabbos is asur. To gossip or slander is asur. To lie and distort truth is usr. To look at the images we shouldn't be seeing. I'm not judging those who struggle with them. We all struggle. But I'm just saying they're in the category of usr because they are inherently bound to the other side, to the dark side. They're categorically part of the klipa. There's a husk. The light of Hashem is blocked from them. Maybe deep even in the klipa you can find it. That's why there's the capacity to do tshuva even from them. We'll get to in a moment. But at least on the surface, it's klipa. There's a total eclipse. There's only darkness. It's sitra achra. It's bound to the dark side. As opposed to heter. Heter means, mutter means, it's unbound. It's unchained. It's not tied to the other side. Rather, all it depends on is the intention, the mindfulness, the attitude we bring to it. So even after such realignment, a trace of the negative force remains in the body. And here the Baal Tanya is going to bring as an example the idea of a kosher act that is absorbed temporarily by negative forces is the example of a man who emits seed with carnal desire, even in a permissible act. So let's say a person is in an act of intimacy with their wife, who's tahora. So they're married, it's the appropriate time, the appropriate context, the appropriate modesty, but the attitude and the intention of that act is purely carnal. It's purely animalistic. It's purely ego. It's purely pleasure. There is no elokus aspect. How could you have an elokus aspect, this physical act of intimacy that seems so base? Because if that act is creating a bond and a connection of intimacy with the other, if two halves are becoming a whole, v'davak b'ishto, if there's an act of elokus because it's elevated to being a spiritual, not just a carnal base physical. So even here, even though the act is mutter, because she's tahora, but if a person has the wrong intent, the wrong attitude, then they've also lowered it. So again, the Baal HaTanya is telling us that we have that which is also, that which is forbidden is klipa. It's husk, it's peel, it's blocking, it's a total eclipse of the light of Hashem. And therefore, it's tied to the sitra achra, to the dark side, to the other side. And then you have that which is a mitzvah. That which a mitzvah is inherently valuable and good. And even there, intent matters. Of course, we encourage kavana for it, but the act itself is categorically good and positive. The mitzvah is from the mitzvah. It creates a tzavsa, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you have this middle category, which is it? It's mutter. It's not tied to either side. It's untied. It's unbound to either side. So all there is what we bring to it. It's our intent. Eating, sleeping, humor, and even the act of intimacy. Is it carnal and animalistic? Or is it part of a relationship, a connection, and even with godliness? Masha ain't Cain. And now he's going to give the converse, the opposite side of everything we've just laid out. Masha ain't Cain b'machalas asuros obias asuros. So this is not true when it comes to forbidden foods or forbidden acts of intimacy. Shehein mishalosh klipos atmeres legamrei. If a person's eating that which is osur, it's bound to the dark side. Someone's eating something that's just non-kosher, it's bound to the klipa. It's from the three completely impure klipos. Hein asur mukshurim bidei achitzonim la'olam. Their energy remains permanently tied and bound. Ve'ein olam misham. And you cannot ascend from there. You can't retroactively assign a elokus attitude to an act that was inherently bound to the sitra achra, to the dark side. It doesn't matter. It was an act that was bound to the dark side. It doesn't matter if act retroactively. Ad ki yavo yomam v'yivula hamavis la'netzach. So what does that mean? It's irredeemable, it's hopeless. When we've indulged the ego in the three klipos that are connected to a davar asur, they're bound to the dark side. We're hopeless and helpless. We can't be redeemed to repair. There is no repentance possible. So here the Alter Rebbe interjects. Of course, even acts connected, bound, tied to the three klipos, ad ki yavo yomam v'yivula hamavis la'netzach, until their day comes, pasuk in Yirmiyah, when death will be swallowed up forever, pasuk Yeshaya, k'mosher kasuv ve'es ruach hatuma avir min ha'aretz, even in the unredeemed world, even before Mashiach comes, it's still possible to extract the energy. There's a positive, there is even still light, or ein sof, even beyond the three klipos, not just klipos noga. How? Through tshuva. What kind of tshuva? So here the Alter Rebbe says, stam regular, low level, low intensity tshuva, that helps you for klipos noga. That allows you to go back in time and assign an elokus attitude to something which was mutter, unbound, a neutral act. But if you indulged in klipa, in actually sitra achra, in the other side, in the dark side, in that which was bound to bad, so now the tshuva, to be able to repair it and redeem it in an unredeemed world, you can't get away with shallow, low-level, low-intensity tshuva. You need high intensity, high energy, deeply authentic and sincere tshuva. She asked a tshuva gedola kokach, she's donos nasulo kizchuyos. And here the Baal HaTanya adds a word that he likes, mamish. Zdonos nasulo kizchuyos, mamish. Rabbi Nachum Mendel Shneur says, mamish, mamish. What does he mean, mamish? Because others understand this gemara, it's a gemara psachim, mandaf, peivav. Others understand this gemara to be meaning figuratively, that if a person does such an intense tshuva, you can even transform the negative act into a merit. You can even take the zdonos, that which you did bemezid, that which you did intentionally, you can even transform it to be a schus, schuyos. Others say it means, it's a nice idea, it's a rabbinic hyperbole. It means you were so intense, you were so authentic, you were so sincere, well, ki'ilu treat it like it's a schus. Comes along the Baal Tanya and he says, no, mamish, mamish. You take it from this column, your demerit, your liability, you're in trouble, you're punished column, and not just you erase it from that column, you move it over a column. You put it in the schus column. You put it in the you've been a good boy column. You put it in you've been right and righteous column. You put it into the schus column. How do you do that? How do you move columns? How do you take something that was osur? It was tied and bound to the sitra achra. It was from the world of three klipos. It was an act itself that was categorically bad. And how do you move it from the column of zdonos to schuyos mamish? Mamish, how? Says the Alter Rebbe, she tshuva me'ava. It all depends on the driver and motivation of the tshuva. If you're doing tshuva out of fear, I don't want lightning to strike, I don't want my parnasa or portfolio to plummet, I don't want my health to disappear, I don't want something to go bad, so Hashem, I'm sorry, I'm not really sorry, I'm just sorry because I don't want the consequence or accountability. So that's a low-level tshuva. But if the tshuva is Hashem, you can even punish me if you still feel I need to, but I want to repair and come close to you no matter what. I miss you, I love you, I failed you, I've disappointed you. I can't take that. I want you to love me. I love you. And therefore, tshuva me'ava. I'm driven and motivated out of ava. Me'umka deliba bi'ava rabba. A repentance from the depths of your heart with great love. Chassidus distinguishes between avas olam and ava rabba. There's two types of a love. There's an avas olam, which is the love to the creator for being created. And there's an ava rabba. Ava rabba is a great love. V'chashika v'nefesh shokeka l'davka bo yizbarach. The fervor of a craving soul. Thirsting for God like a parched desert soil. Until now, your soul is in a wilderness, in the shadow of death. Distant as anything could be from the God's inner light. If a person in a relationship, a spouse, a dear friend, someone they love, a chavrusa, and they failed them, they hurt them, and they come to them, they say, I hope you forgive me, I want you to forgive me. But my goal here is not just to get out of the cold shoulder you're giving me. My goal here is because I love you and it's breaking my heart. I hurt you and I want to repair this relationship. I want to be close. I want to be connected. I'm craving. My soul is thirsting. I want to be closer to you than ever from this experience. It's the feeling of utter spiritual emptiness. It's the feeling of reaching rock bottom. It's the impatience. I don't want to be this far, this distant. I don't want to feel this disconnect from you. So when a person feels that distance in their soul now craves and thirsts Hashem more than even tzaddikim. So how did this donos nasal kishuyos? Because when you create the problem, now you've also revealed the path forward. See, when you're here, all is well and good. See, I want to come close, but I don't know. This way or this way or this way or this way or this way. I don't know how to get close. Which path do I take? What do I do? But when you created damage and took a step back, now you created the necessary path and the step forward. So the zdonos, the damage, the path backwards, revealed a path that now if you take it forward, zdonos nasan lekeschuyos. And now, writes the Alter Rebbe, unbelievably, that thirst, that craving, that yearning, that desire to repair, to bring back from, you indulge the klipa, you gave into the sitra achra, person gave into the ego over elokus in an area of isser, it was bound and tied to the dark side, no light of God in it, a total eclipse. How can you bounce back even from that? When you say, I take responsibility, accountability, I love, I miss, I crave, I want to come close, zdonas namlekson kizchuyos, how? Mamish. You move it from this column to that column, mamish. Mamish can move it over. Let's just end up. And you become greater than a tzaddik. The tzaddik who never took a step back has no idea how to take a step forward. But the person who took a step back, indulged the ego of elokus, and that which was usher and bound to the sitra achra, by doing that and moving backwards, by baking a path backwards, they've revealed, they've carved, exactly, they have a map, exactly what the path is forward. And therefore, where they stand when they take that path forward, they not only moved it over a column, they stand where tzaddikim can't ever stand. And that is the way to not only live in avas olam, that is the way to achieve an avaraba. But if a tshuva you say, I'm sorry, I regret the past, I make a commitment for the future, all the steps of tshuva, and it's wonderful, and we give you credit, and it's great. However, it's driven not by the highest motivation of tshuva. So now you're forgiven, but that's not called avaraba. You got it erased from the bad column, but you don't get it to be moved over and written in the good column. And you didn't lift the total eclipse. There's still a total eclipse. So a person who doesn't do the tshuva of avaraba, they only do the tshuva of avas olam or tshuva meira. So they've erased the mistake. They're no longer held accountable. They got rid of the punishment. However, they didn't redeem or reveal any of the light in that dark klipa. And now they have to wait until death is swallowed up forever, until Mashiach comes. Only then can they achieve a full repentance. Which brings us up to section 3. Next week we'll cover section 3, the very end of Perek Zayin. He deals with one particular Avera. And this Avera, I'll just give you a little preview, which will likely bring you back next week. And that preview is the following. Many were taught, this did a lot of damage to many young men, that if they wasted seed, it's like they've murdered millions of people. They're going to boil in a vat of their own whatever. They're punished in ways that they can't ever endure. It's unforgivable. They're terribly bad people. And it's created enormous damage in the psyche of people. We don't have to get into those details. The Alter Rebbe goes in the opposite direction. He says, well, you might think that that is, and it is a very severe sin, one that cannot be taken lightly, and a person has to be vigilant to grow and to regulate themselves and to be careful with the days of Shovavim, particularly Shuvah Banim Shovavim. It's a time to strive for Kedusha. But there is this sort of counterintuitively is easier to repair from than other Averos. Even though the Avera is intense, it's easier to repair from. It's Kriya Shema Lamita. We'll get to it, Amir Tz Hashem, next week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy, and stay warm.